Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to talk. I'm just as happy to have heard, in one sense, I play a very little part in terms of book distribution or so on here. And if you don't mind, I'll just sort of speak whatever comes to mind. I didn't choose any particular verse, but first of all, I guess a real congratulations to all the devotees who participated in this wonderful effort. 131,000, how many? 340. That's a real praiseworthy score. And how many devotees participated? Do we have numbers? Sutta, do you have words? 1,000 devotees. So I think it's been a long time. I remember someone, maybe it was Krishnamurti Prabhu, was coining. Say how many?
It was 1990, we did 1 million books.
No. That was Krishnamurti Prabhu coined this phrase. A little for many, as opposed to regular standard Sankirtan devotees or Sankirtan devotees who are doing a lot. A few of them are doing a lot, but that's one version. Just like the Ekho Bahunam Vibhadati Kaman. Just like for the absolute truth to be complete, there has to be one unlimited one, because there's only room for one unlimited one, but there's lots of room for unlimited number of limited ones, very limited ones. Just in case you don't know, we're the ones who fall into the limited category. And Krishna is the unlimited one. And although it's interesting, we have a religion where you get an unlimited number of unlimited ones as well. In other words, Krishna expands himself into many. But still, he stays one. So similarly, book distribution, in which many devotees are... Doesn't it work without the red flashing in my eye? If you're a real photographer, you wouldn't need it. You could just set the focus yourself. There's the full-time Sankirtan devotees, we call them, who are going out all the time, and then the part-time Sankirtan devotees. Everyone's a Sankirtan devotee, at least anyone who belongs to the Sankirtan movement. And of course, Sankirtan is more of a generic terminology. Book distribution is more precise. Prasadam distribution is Sankirtan. Harinam is Sankirtan. Preaching is Sankirtan. If you're awake, Japa is also Sankirtan. But we tend to combine the two, mix the two. Book distribution is Sankirtan. And I remember very clearly, it was still in the Montreal bowling alley. Must have been sometime around 1973 or 74 when we received this letter from Srila Prabhupada, when he said, I want all of my followers. It was interesting he used the word followers rather than disciples, because every follower was a disciple. I says, I want all my followers at least to learn the art of book distribution and to go out once a week. We can look it up. It must be there. And I think at that time I was a spiritual sky incense salesman. Somehow I got roped into that. I always got distracted, not by choice, but by someone else's choice, from book distribution to selling incense, then to becoming a temple president, then to becoming a GBC. Life's very simple when you're distributing books. There's no surprises as to what's going to happen the next day. Everything's very organized. Everything's very structured. No emergency telephone calls, emails. The only surprise every once in a while in O'Hare Airport, someone sticks a gun in your side and says, don't do that again. But good thing is that the UK is not like America. And people don't walk around with guns tucked into their suits or under their suits. And Srila Prabhupada would be extremely proud, is extremely proud. And it's an extraordinary achievement. When I first saw the video, 100,000, so that's really remarkable. And even more remarkable that 1,000 devotees participate, because it shows that we can fulfill what Srila Prabhupada wanted, that all of his followers, and if all of his followers learn the art, because it's a real art, Krishna says, karma shukoshalam. Koshala means art. So the art to book distribution, how you actually convince someone on the spot to surrender. Because that's what it's about. Because when people give you money, they're surrendering. And Srila Prabhupada placed emphasis on that. Of course, they're not necessarily surrendering their lives, but they're certainly making a good step towards that. And what that journey will take, how long that journey will take from the time when they get a book. And of course, because we're a Sankirtan movement, Sankirtan in the broader sense really doesn't mean just book distribution. We shouldn't think that we've fulfilled our obligation. Just sell the books and people are going to be falling in the door. Because as you notice, they're not falling in the door, despite the fact that we sell the books. So there's more to Sankirtan than that. There's finding the people who've got the books and cultivating them and giving them lots of prasadam and getting them to chant Hare Krishna. And so it's a process, but it's certainly the first part of the process. You don't have a seed. You can water the ground as much as you like. You're only going to get weeds. So there's no fruits to be gotten. But this is really planting the seed. So it's the basis. And it's a wonderful tradition that that goes back to when books were first came into existence, or when books were, well, of course in India, I don't know what the tradition was here in the West. I guess they did copy things by hand. They must have, but before, who was it that invented the press? The German? Gutenberg. Before Gutenberg invented the press, and that was when, and the first thing that came off the presses was the Bible. Finally, Christianity got over the fact that the Bible shouldn't be, but there was a Protestant. There was the Protestants who gave the Bible, because other denominations didn't think that everyone should have the Bible, especially women, because they didn't have souls at that time. So theological lacking. But even before that time, time when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to South India, he finds a copy of the Brahma Samhita, or at least the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and then someone copies it, and he takes that copy back to Puri. Now that's really book distribution. If all the devotees had to actually copy out by hand every book that you go out and sell, certainly slows down book distribution. But that is the way it happened before. And that explains why in Srimad Bhagavatam it concludes with part of the false stuti saying that if someone takes because that's 5,000 years ago, if someone takes a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam and on a golden throne offers it to a Brahmin, then he goes back to Godhead. What to speak of in the Gita Mahatmya, not the Gita Mahatmya that's in the beginning of Prabhupada, the end of Prabhupada's introduction, but it's over 100 verses by Sutta Goswami. And there it talks about giving one Gita it talks about giving 100 Gitas also. So that must have been really quite a thing to 100 hand-copied versions of the Bhagavad Gita. But it's our tradition. It's our culture. Our culture is giving transcendental knowledge. That's what Krishna consciousness is about. And that's what we do when we go out on book distribution. We give people transcendental knowledge. As Krishna says in the Gita, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitramiham vidyate, there's nothing to match this, because with knowledge people can sever the bonds of illusion. They can understand their own spiritual identity. They can understand that they're not this body, that they're spirit soul. And they can understand so many other things that otherwise, especially as Kali Yuga progresses further and further and further, it's not part of everyday life. It's not part of a secular world. It's not part of education. It's not part of the home. It's not part of anything. They're not going to get it anywhere. Whereas at one time, education meant, and the means of education was all scripturally based, was all based on spiritual knowledge. That's no longer there. Whatever the latest technological fad is, education tends to gear to that, atmahana, and thereby. Destroy soul, at least destroy people's opportunity for self-realization. I was inspired even last year. I wanted to go out and do a little more. As I mentioned, my book distribution days were always sort of interrupted by other duties or other callings. And although it's by far the most challenging and relishable activity, and I've done everything. Prabhupada said that I've tried everything and there's nothing to match Krishna consciousness. There's no enjoyment here in the material world. In terms of devotional service, whether it's deity worship or other forms of preaching, being a GBC sannyasi, spiritual guide, other things, and everything has its own rasa, everything has its own unique taste. I have to admit this. There may be other things that are more difficult in other ways. Sitting at a desk may not appear difficult, but if you've got a lot of extraordinary things happening at the other end of a computer, telephone, or the person sitting to you, it can be extremely stressful. And in one way, not as immediately rewarding. At least it doesn't appear to be so. But book distribution has a very unique type of taste, as I mentioned earlier. It's a very regulated activity. Very interestingly, just yesterday, morning conversation with Srila Prabhupada said that, I'm just paraphrasing, that it's very suitable for Vaishya types. In other words, people who know how to sell something, how to convince somebody that this is what they need. Although they may not necessarily think that that's what they need. But my experience here was it is increasingly that anyway. And this type of course, there's always an opportunity to sell books. You can sit in a temple behind a book table and you can sell books. You can go door to door. My sort of training was on the streets of Montreal or not. Underground Montreal has more than just streets, a very cold place, extremely cold place. The only colder place I was in Winnipeg, and there's no underground. There it's between everything else, whether it's the shopping places or the Jai Shishu Adagokulananda Ki Jai, or the metro subway or the hotels. Everything is linked by underground heated corridors and designed for book distribution, and you can get lost over there. But that type of street sankirtan and getting on to 67 years old, it's become patently obvious that physically it's not an activity that you're going to be able to do forever. And so I wanted to be able to do it. I could have done it in Hungary, although my English is a little better than my Hungarian, especially when it comes to... They talk very fast. They're very fast. I've taught devotees to speak slower. And they speak very fast. So it's a little more difficult. And I wanted to... And the weather, although the weather turned out to be very good. Anyway, I got in touch with Ananda Chaitanya. Well, why don't we go together, I figure I can take the last 10 days off, which will be the last 2 weeks, and just go out and do Sankirtan. And of course, he wasn't in tune with the weather in the northeast of the country, but he said, yeah, the best place in the UK is Liverpool. And it's a great place. It really is. Although that hadn't been my past experience, I had as much difficulty understanding what they were saying as the Hungarian. Somehow, since then, they learned. They learned to speak English. They're extremely nice people. Of course, it certainly helps that the Beatles were from there, and we just happened to have lots of Chanta Be Happies, so at least you could show the back. George, John, they got all their inspiration from these books for their music. But then we sort of expanded the program, see if there were some other devotees who weren't necessarily going to participate in any other full-time engagement and come up there. Last night I found out that news didn't get out broad enough, far enough, which is a shame. So instead of staying in Liverpool, which we couldn't really find a suitable place, all the places became really, really expensive, renting an 8-bedroom house. We had a nice one, but just on the 20th, we had to get out the 23rd. So that wasn't very good. So we're based around Manchester Temple, which was also nice, because I've never been in Manchester this long, actually, 2 weeks. And Manchester, it always rains anyway, so it's always a rainy place, if you know Manchester. But I think we only had one day when it didn't rain, and for some reason we didn't look for shelter. So we ended up doing that, and that was very nice. We had a great backup team. Barshana Devadasi organized things, and we had a very good backup team for cooking and getting books and sorting out all other things, including banking. And then because I was always so enthralled by our new Leicester temple, especially its potential temple room, I thought, well, if we make profit, which was a really big if, because although when I found out about the price of books that you distribute, I thought, you really got to be handicapped not to make a profit when books cost are this cheap. In Hungary, which by comparatively is an economy that's a half or even less, in other words, there, of the UK's, there a pound is equivalent to £3 here, say. Our Bhagavad Gita's cost, Shambhi Harry's outside, our Bhagavad Gita's cost, cost 2,000 for it, cost £5-6, temple cost. So devotees are selling them for twice that, even more. And that's how much a Bhagavad Gita costs. If you go into foils, you don't buy Bhagavad Gitas for £5. You don't buy books, hardbound books, for £5. It's something that we were able to do, especially English language, we were able to do because a lot of the world speaks English, and so the books go everywhere because we're through the umpteenth edition of the Bhagavad Gita and have published so many. In one sense, devotees are really spoiled to value books. If there were karmis selling books out there, they'd be selling our books for 5 times what we sell them for. But be that as it may, we're blessed with this opulence of being able to sell books at that price. So if we made some profit, then donate the profit to Leicester Temple, and surprise, surprise, we made a profit. And that didn't include Ananda Chaitanya, who's like a vacuum cleaner. Not dust, but Lakshmi. Some people came back afterwards and they noticed that their pockets were more than empty. I had to tell them, don't talk to me, go talk to him. But that's inevitable. Srila Prabhupada, I think after some report the devotees sent him about festivals, he says, yes, that's my program. People should go away from our festivals with their stomachs full of prasadam, their hands full of books, and their pockets empty. So you were doing a good job. And this text giving is a real blessing, especially for people who had already done it. Really another gift to Sankirtan. I don't know if you know what it means. It means that people can just punch in a number, dial a telephone number, put in a code, and an amount, maximum £10. That's the only drawback. And that gets deducted from their, or it gets added onto their telephone bill, and Vodafone just sends it automatically to whatever that account is, which in this case was ISKCON Leicester. Very, very handy thing. No one has to take their wallet out. They're not psychologically feeling like they're immediately giving something, especially if their parents are paying the telephone bill. Then it's great. The only thing is, if they're not experienced at it and they don't have their telephone in their hands, which 50% of the people do, everyone's walking around, it's like, what did they do before there was a telephone to keep them engaged? But then it's a little strange that, well, take your telephone out and make a telephone call. I'm going to take my telephone out. But anyway, it was a wonderful experience. It was very good when I was out there. First of all, no one knew I was Shivaram Swami, even if they knew. Although I introduced myself, my name is Swami. And they couldn't care less whether I was a guru or a sannyasi or that. And that's very good. And that's one of the very important aspects of doing Sankirtan, because it humbles you. So Brahmachari Gurukule Vasadanto Guru Orhitan, and it's the traditional principle of Brahmacharis, for us Brahmacharinis also, going out and begging, you have to be humble. And you have to be very tolerant. So Titiksha, first thing Krishna talks about, Tams Titiksha Shubharata, to learn tolerance, you have to be tolerant. You have to be tolerant of the elements. You have to be tolerant of the people, you have to be tolerant of the difficulties that come along, the physical inconvenience and other things, and it only works if you're humble. You talk back, you can't talk back. It doesn't work. And that's very good, because here, as long as I was here in the UK, I was sort of relativized by my God brothers and God sisters. And that was good. But when I go off to Hungary, I have no God brothers, no God sisters. But Sankirtan's a good panacea for that. Book distribution is very good. It makes you, brings you a little down to earth. Srinadapi sunichena. And I was really pleasantly surprised. I haven't been on the streets in the UK since 1993. Adhikarta Prabhu first told me that he was going to come over and participate in the marathon, but then characteristically changed his mind. And he didn't, although he promised he will next year. See if there's a next year. And Adhikarta Prabhu is a very competitive person. And he has a very unique approach also. I heard him say things that only a real seasoned Sankirtan devotee can get away with. Oh, is that your wife? Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. And they still buy a book. he's very, very, very expert. And it's something that I was taught in when I got to Chicago in 1976 or 77. I think it was 77. And there was one devotee who sort of taught me big book distribution in a different way. Of course, airport distribution was sort of unique in its ways. And especially certain techniques that we used to do to distribute books, which is sometimes sort of misrepresented. Anyway, his name was Manasuda, and one of the things he taught me was, actually, it doesn't matter what you say. And which was something new to me at that time. And then later on, I even got introduced to the concept that you don't have to say anything to distribute books. That the important thing was your consciousness. And so I was sort of naive, thinking that after 10 years pushing a keyboard, that you just put on a book bag and everything just comes back again. Some things come back. But it takes a little while for the shakti to come back. And I told the devotees when we were there, we used to do things like practice whether we could just stop people by pointing at them. And it works if you're doing it 6 days a week, 7 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day, and you build up a certain type of potency. But it doesn't work just by crooking your finger. And some people in Liverpool, they just looked at me, the weirdo with crooking his finger, and just keep on walking. So book distribution, it's like, it's a certain type of austerity, and there's only a few people I ever met for whom it was easy. One of them was my godbrother, Sura Das, who in the devotees would say, "Oh, Sankirtan book distribution is so difficult." And he'd say, "Are you crazy? It's the biggest fun that you can ever have." Very few people said that. Vaisheshika Prabhu used to stop people by saying, "Sir, you went at Mangalartik today." And that's how he would sell them a book. And Dayananda Maharaj, he's here? Yeah. He'd say, after working in a mine, book distribution is quite easy, it's a breeze. So, but it's an austerity, and like with other austerities, austerity means you build up a certain type of potency, you achieve certain cities or certain stages of cities and austerities. And as Srila Prabhupada said, it's the art, an artist. Artists don't just immediately sit down, just from wanting to paint to being painting. They go through different phases of perfection. And book distribution is also like that. It's something that really adds to the consciousness of the devotee. And so, of course, certainly endears devotees to Srila Prabhupada, to Krishna. It's something that Srila Prabhupada did. Now, here we are. So you can just think back 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada was living in something that was smaller than this broom closet here. This is a broom closet, well, much smaller, and with no windows, and with a sink, and Prabhupada slept on the floor behind a desk. And in that desk, that desk was a, what are they called? A steel box, what are they? Trunk. And there was a trunk full of his books. But Prabhupada was going out selling books. That's how he was maintaining himself. He had no means of income. He had no supporters. He didn't have a society at this stage established. He was literally eating at the grace, living it by the grace of one Mayavadi acquaintance. And Srila Prabhupada was going to bookshops. He would place books there. When I went with Satsrup Maharaj when he went to, that was way back, 1978, to Butler. But at that time, he also told me that he'd went to some of the bookshops, New York bookshops, and spoken with some of the people, and they would explain how Prabhupada came in, and he first convinced them to take his books, and Srimad Bhagavatam, Volume 1, 2, and 3, First Canto, and then the Srila Prabhupada would come in on a regular basis, and he would ask, how are the books selling? If any books were sold, then he would take the agreed price. Obviously, they would keep a certain profit, and Prabhupada would keep the price, and that was Prabhupada's means of sustenance. So Prabhupada, when he asked us to do book distribution, he was walking his talk. As he said, I walk through fire to establish Krishna consciousness. And so it's a wonderful austerity. It's something that yajna, sacrifice. It's something that really builds character. And I was very amazed at how receptive people were. For 2 days we did Manchester. It was tougher than Liverpool. It is a fact. Liverpool people are very sweet. I don't know whether they get the benefit of George Harrison's devotional credits. Let's share something. Someone stopped. Who was it that stopped? It was Sharanagati stopped someone who said, you know George Harrison. He said, of course, he's my second cousin. Someone, everyone's related, I guess, to them in some way or another, either really or by desire. And but, you know, I was there. I was there in the Dodi, Tilak, and I stop people and stick a Bhagavad Gita in their hand or a Srimad Bhagavatam because I was just distributing big books, SSR as well. And you must have heard about the Bhagavad Gita. I'd say 10% of the people said they have heard of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, just as an aside, I think you're really missing out on not having Mahabharat in Hungary. People go, literally speaking, nuts over having Mahabharat on the street because everyone heard of the Mahabharata. And along with that, of course, Bhagavad Gita is a good companion. And Mahabharata there is very expensive. They sell them. Devotees have to sell them for at least £15. That's equivalent to £50 here. And they sell them. And we're in our second printing. We just had it for the marathon. But people have heard of the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, they've heard of Krishna. I'm a Krishna monk. You know, the knowledge is free. You just have to give a donation for the ink and the paper. And there's no problem in terms of I don't read books. No one said that to me, that I don't read books. They gladly took the books. People are very, very open to Krishna consciousness. They're quite informed. Yoga, meditation, karma, yeah, these are like everyday words now. They weren't everyday words, certainly not 40, 50 years ago. 40, 50 years ago, you know, vegetarianism and there's something wrong with you. And yoga, that's, some people do, that's what Houdini did, but that's not for us. Now, all of them, especially ladies, you do yoga, right? Yeah. Well, this is where yoga comes from. Here you go. Karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness, hatha yoga, dhyana yoga, bhakti yoga. This is all about the different types of yoga. Extremely straightforward. I was straight preaching. I don't have to say anything else about either food distribution or any of these lines. And a wonderful, wonderful field. The UK is by far the best, at least best preaching field I've been in, and the most open. And of course, the police department were extremely cooperative. They never even showed up. I don't see them anywhere. Which certainly wasn't the experience I had when I was Sankirtan leader here. And we had some extremely serious difficulties and challenges with the police. Nothing. They got a lot of other things to worry about, and they got a lot of other problems other than us. So it was very, very wonderful. It was nice to see devotees, young, old, and in between, coming out and distributing. I don't know. We'll see what happens if the opportunity is there for the following year. But certainly, I can encourage everyone, and I'm sure you've gotten the taste, even though it may be difficult. But you get this conviction that as difficult as it is, it's not that I'm doing the wrong thing. If you're GBC, people challenge, is this the right decision, the wrong decision, what are you doing, what aren't you doing? Temple presidents have very similar problems. There's no issue either individually in your conscience or when it comes to other people, are you doing the right thing when you're distributing books and selling books? And as Srila Prabhupada said, he said in different places, but the one that spread really like wildfire was when he was in Toronto in 1975. And Srila Prabhupada was living in our temple, which was a really little temple. It was like the size of Buri Place. And Prabhupada's room was right above. Prabhupada shared, of course, the bathroom. There was only one bathroom with everyone else. And Prabhupada's room was right above the front door. So one morning when all the devotees were there, of course, a lot of devotees there. Devotees were going out on book distribution. They were packing books into the van. And Prabhupada was just watching them. And when some devotees came in, probably some temple presidents or GBCs, then he said, just by this service, they're going to go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, by other services, you go back home, back to Godhead, but it's certainly something that Srila Prabhupada emphasized, drilled into us, amongst the many things that Prabhupada drilled into his disciples, but this was one that Prabhupada didn't spare any emphasis. And even now, listening to Prabhupada's recordings and tapes, and when he's being read the marathon scores for 77. He was being read the marathon scores for 76, and the whole year book distributions for 76, and then they said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, we doubled it from last year, and Prabhupada's mantra was, yes, and this year it must more than double. And I remember when Prabhupada first said that, which must have been in 75, there was a real, because our approach was when Prabhupada said something, then that was law, and that's what has to happen. But how you actually go about doing it, it was quite a puzzle. What are we going to do? We have to do twice as well. That's easier said than done. There are only so many days, hours in the day. Although we started going out just from Joppa from 6 to 7. At that time, I remember we had a temporary location in Montreal, which was it was a ex-beauty salon, which means that the smell of peroxide just pervaded the whole building all the time. And we had a metro stop just on the other side of the street. So literally speaking, that's what we did. At 6 a.m. in the morning when that news came, Prabhupada said, you have to double it. So we went out for an hour before deity greeting and started selling books to the first people who were like staggering on the way to work, and the first thing they're meeting is Hare Krishnas at 6 o'clock in the morning in the subway selling them books. Medya, she was there. But Srila Prabhupada was here. He said, next year you have to double it. And then I'll leave that to you, how to figure out how to do that. But with such an army of 1,000 devotees, then certainly, either you double it to 2,000. But no doubt, Prabhupada always wanted us to increase. He never wanted us to be sort of satisfied with what we've done, especially in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. We really have so much to do. Although, of course, on one side, people are so receptive. On another side, if they're 5 times more receptive than they were 25 years ago, then they're 25 times crazier. And, really lost. I have the faintest clue. Christmases were a lot more Christmassy 25 years ago than they are now. Probably noticed very little Christmas spirit cheer. The only cheer were the people who'd come back from the football games. They had cheer, but that was because they were all drunk. But there's no Christmas cheer, no Christmas attitude, no sense of... And meaningless, because when we talk to people and ask them, this is about actually getting to know who you are. And I told everyone, you're not this body, you're spirit soul. And because you're acting like this body, you're perpetuating a consumer society which isn't making you happy. And no one argued with me, it's making me happy. And everyone accepted, yeah, it's crazy. Why are you doing it? Because they're crazy. They just continue doing it. So, nunam pramatam kuruti vikarma. Yeah, it's... So people really have no direction, no clue. We have such a extraordinary, wonderful gift of absolute truth. Now we really need to be able to market it. These people out there, crazy as they are, they know how to market anything and sell it and convince you that you want it. So really, Krishna consciousness is about marketing, and Srila Prabhupada was a master at marketing Krishna consciousness, and that's where he actually diverged from his godbrothers and from Gaudiya Math. If the Prabhupada was willing to Brahmacharinis, fine, let them go out. Restaurants, yeah, you don't usually associate religion with restaurants. Prabhupada said, open restaurants, and Srimad Bhagavatam, a lot of Prabhupada's godbrothers criticized Prabhupada. People are throwing away the books. In fact, I remember when Prabhupada, I wasn't there, but at one time when Prabhupada was passing through Chicago airport, and one man, because that's how we would stop people, well, that was interesting, actually. Just remind me to come back. When I first came to the UK, I remember getting out of the van in Oxford Street and doing what I was used to in America, which is going up and stopping people by shaking their hands. People thought I was some kind of very aggressive, crazy person. You know, in England, you don't shake people's hands, strangers' hands you haven't even met. But now you can do that. But anyway, we put books in people's hands. And, of course, there's always a risk. You put them in their hands, they just keep walking. So that's what happened. This person, Prabhupada, was at the airport flying out somewhere or came in. And he was watching how devotees stopped someone. They gave him a book, and the person just stole it. And they said, oh, Prabhupada, that person stole the book, and Prabhupada just left. He says, it doesn't matter, he has it. So somehow or another, but Srila Prabhupada is a real master at marketing Krishna consciousness. And if we also use our intelligence, it's an art of how to give people Krishna consciousness, to actually bring some sanity into this world that's going completely crazy. There's brake pedal, which is really good, and then there's a handbrake, which is only good if the car is not moving. So we're not at the foot pedal stage yet. I don't know. We're not really at the hand brake yet. We're not really doing much to stop the insanity that society is inflicting upon itself. But certainly, and if we really work together, this must have been an extraordinary team effort. There's 1,000 devotees and that type of cooperation to somehow or another avail people of this very wonderful thing of Krishna consciousness. There's nothing to match it. There's nothing that comes close to it. It's not part of the truth. It's the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us Krishna. It's the absolute truth. And as Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita, solve all the problems of life, and also not just the problems, but all the needs, all the necessities of men can be solved. No doubt, if we work in a very cooperative way, then that can really happen. And the type of spiritual revolution that Narada Muni talks about in the Bhagavatam, Tadvaga Vishargo Janatabla Biplava, and that Srila Prabhupada envisaged, that the Krishna Consciousness Movement are the spiritual authorities in the UK. That's our identity. We don't represent any particular class or people. We're not representing Hinduism. We're representing, you want spiritual knowledge? Go to the Hare Krishnas. They got the answers to everything. And Srila Prabhupada had the answers, and he gave us the answers. Now we just got to be able to make the connection. Anyway, I don't want to go over time, so we'll stop there. Is that okay? Vishwambar is a vacuum cleaner. He doesn't leave a speck behind. Still, a broken vacuum cleaner is better than no vacuum cleaner. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Jai Nitai Gopremanandu.